Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi washabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alihi washabiki ya Nurullah. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, with regard to the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak, he said that whoever sends salat upon me on Friday, it shall be a means for intercession for him with me on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, the days that we are fortunate to be in now, these particular days are of imaginable blessings and excellence. The night that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam saw a dream regarding the sacrifice of his son. The next day was the 8th of Zulhajj. That day, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam spent the day deep in contemplation, considering whether the dream he had was a revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla or not. And that is why the 8th of Zulhajj is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of contemplation. On the 9th, he came to the realization that his dream was indeed a revelation from Allah. And then this was named as Yawm al-Arafah, the day of recognition. On the 10th, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam placed a knife on the neck of his beloved son, Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, setting an eternal example of obedience and submission. What it means to love Allah, the spirit of sacrifice and selflessness. In place of Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, a ram was brought from paradise and sacrificed by Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam. This is why the 10th of Zulhajjah is known as Yawm al-Nahr, the day of sacrifice. The next 3 days, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, are known as the days of Tashrik. Now, you've heard this story many, many times. We've all heard the story where Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam was willing to make the sacrifice of his son. And you could say that this was the ultimate sacrifice, because Allah Azza wa Jalla could have said to him, sacrifice yourself. Allah Azza wa Jalla could have said to him, sacrifice your own life. But if you were to ask any parent, many parents, I could say probably 100%, I won't say 100%, 90%, 99% of parents would say they would be willing to sacrifice their own lives first rather than the children's. So Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam was requested to make the ultimate sacrifice, sacrificing his own son, not just sacrificing himself. And that sacrifice that he was willing to make was so pleased by Allah Azza wa Jalla, so accepted by Allah Azza wa Jalla, that from then and now until the day of judgment, Muslims around the world, every year we will sacrifice an animal for those that is wajib to do so. And we'll remember those days. And not only that, the day that he was willing to sacrifice is the day that we celebrate, the day of Eid. A joyous occasion for Muslims. But the sacrifice that he was willing to make, and then actions that he took place, where we had them dreams and he was walking and Shaitan tried to come and entice him, and he threw stones at Shaitan. Them till the day of judgment are going to be actions of those people that go and perform the Hajj. This is how beloved it was to Allah Azza wa Jalla to perform these actions. But what we also need to understand is that whenever you come and you hear a speech, an Islamic speech, and a story or an incident is recited to you, ask yourself this question, that why has this story been passed down from generation to generation? We hear things at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years ago, a certain thing happened, and we pass down, and from generation to generation, the person at the front, the member, the imam, mentions that. Why? Why have these things been passed down from generation to generation? It's not so that we can have a good story today, and we can have a storytelling competition. No, these have been passed down so we can learn something from it. And we learn from the event of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, that the sacrifice that he was willing to make. And then compare that to ourselves. You know, sometimes I think to myself that if he had gone through with it and Allah Azza wa Jalla had allowed him to sacrifice his son, then what would be expected of us every year? It is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla shone through there That the action was there. And so today, we are sacrificing animals rather than our own children. But forget sacrificing animals. Sacrificing animals is something that I think Muslims today will find easier to do. We're not even willing to sacrifice our warm beds in the middle of the night. We're not willing to sacrifice that warm quilt and get out of bed and go to the washroom and to perform wuzu. We're not willing to sacrifice our warm homes and come to the house of Allah to perform our salah. Where have we gone? What has gone wrong? That there was a time where people were willing to sacrifice their lives. If you read about the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all willing to sacrifice their lives. And it wasn't just lip service. They didn't just say it, they meant it, and they were willing to do it, and they went through with it. You hear the sacrifices that they were willing to make, that they wanted to be at the front in the battlefield. They didn't want to be left behind. They didn't want to stay in the warm homes like me and you would want it to do. Just think if today, you know, we were called into the battlefield, what would we do? We'd hide in our houses. We hide in our beds when it's Fajr. How do we expect to hide or go out into the battlefield? What has become of us? Where is that spirit of sacrifice gone? Where is that passion gone for the deen? Where's that passion of sacrifice gone? And then we wonder why the Muslims are in the state that they're in. That we cannot even sacrifice getting out of bed in the morning to perform our Fajr. Why is it the masjid packed on the day of Eid and it's not packed at Fajr? You know, many years ago, this scholar from America, I was speaking to him, and he said to me that on the day of Eid, he was called to a masjid to lead the prayers, and he did a speech. And after the speech, he sat down facing the Qibla, and the chairman from the masjid, he got up and he was making some announcements, as you see in many masjids. Now, the chairman of the masjid, he made a mistake. And this scholar, he said to me, I afterwards realized that I had also made a mistake by not stopping him. The chairman of the masjid said that, look, before we read the Eid namaz, if there's anybody in here today that has not read your Fajr, read it now, and then we'll read the Eid namaz. Now, he shouldn't have said that because you are effectively exposing someone's sin. Committing a sin is a sin, but exposing your sin or exposing other people's sin is also a sin. And the scholar said to me that at that time, I was just shocked that he'd asked this question, that I didn't stop him, and I regret it. But the scholar, he was facing the Qibla. And he says to me that, I'm thinking to myself, will anybody actually get up? Will anybody actually get up and read the Fajr before we read the Eid namaz? And I thought to myself, nobody's going to get up. Nobody's going to get up. And he said, I wanted to turn around and look, but I thought, no, I shouldn't look. I shouldn't look. But then eventually my nafs got the better of me. And he said, I turned around. I turned around and he said to me, between 75 and 80% of the people were up. They were standing and reading Salatul Fajr. A day where we remember the sacrifices that Sayyidina Ibrahim and Islam were willing to make. That's day of sacrifice. How will we start that day? What will our first action be on that day? Will it be getting up for Salatul Fajr? Or will it be getting up to come here for the Salatul Eid? What has become of us? That we read our prayers 2 times a year, or we read our prayers once a week. It is fard upon us 5 times a day. This is not something new to you. You all know this. Nobody here or nobody on Madri channel will send a message. Oh, sorry, brother. I didn't know that it's fard upon us to read 5 times a day. I didn't know that. We all know that. So the question is, why not? Why are we not reading our salah 5 times a day? Why can we not make... I'm not even going to use the word sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. But reading our salah 5 times a day is not a sacrifice. You're reading it in the comforts of your homes. You're reading it in the masjid where we've got boilers and geysers, and we've got in the hot weather, we've got the ACs running, we've got all these things here. Where is the sacrifice that you're making? All right, maybe to come to the masjid, you have to get in your car and come here. You don't have to walk here. I remember many years ago when I was blessed with the opportunity to go and perform the Umrah, and I was in the blessed city of Medina. And it was a really hot time. I think it was around May, June time, probably around this time. And as I came out to the hotel, and from my hotel to Masjid al-Nabawi was probably only about 500 meters, 600 meters, something like that. And I came out of the masjid and it was hot. And it was really, really hot. And I'm pouring in sweat. And I ran. I ran all the way to the masjid. And as soon as I got in the masjid, the AC's on. And I sat down and took in the cool air. But then I thought to myself, AC's only just come. AC's only been here the last 10, 15, 20 years. The fans have only been here the last 20, 30 years. What did the Muslims do before? they managed. They carried on, they did it. Today, nowadays, if the boiler's not good in the masjid, if the carpet's not soft in the masjid, if the AC doesn't work in the masjid, the fan's not working in the masjid, the heater's not working, then we don't go. What is our excuse? Think at the time the sacrifice that they were willing to make. In all types of weather, they came to the masjid. What is our excuse? Ask yourself, what is your excuse for not coming to the house of Allah? And you'll struggle to make an excuse. And if you do, it will be an excuse. It will not be a valid reason in the majority of our cases. And that's where we need to question ourselves. The sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was there to make, was willing to make, where is our sacrifice level? I'm just talking about salah, I'm not talking about anything else yet. I'm not talking about your time, I'm not talking about your money, I'm not talking about your efforts. All of these things we should be willing to make, but we're not willing to make that 5 times a day sacrifice. How can we move on to the next level? Spending in the way of Allah is not obligatory upon us. Giving time to the way of Allah is not obligatory upon us. Traveling in the way of Allah is not obligatory upon us. So rather than talking about them sacrifices, until we can sort out this sacrifice, how are we going to get to that level? And that is something where we need to ask ourselves, where are we going? What direction is our life going into? You know, I've used this example before. You know, we're not very far from the M62 here. The M62 runs from Liverpool to Hull. When you're on the motorway and you're in your car and you're driving, you know which direction you're going in. And you can be on the car, driving in your car, and you keep, if I keep on going in this direction, I'm going to end up in Hull. Or if I keep on driving in this direction, I'm going to end up in Liverpool. Which direction is your life heading in? What direction is your life taking? If you carry on in this path, in this direction that you're living your life now, where will you end up be? When you enter that dark and lonely grave and you ask the questions of the grave, what will your answers be? When you have to cross the bridge of Salat, will you be able to do it? When you're questioned on the Day of Judgment, what will your answers be? These are things that will happen. I don't have to go on the M62. I don't have to go east, I don't have to go west, I don't have to go anywhere. That's a choice. But this isn't. The questions in the grave are not a choice. Crossing the bridge of Salat is not a choice. Your book of deeds being opened on the Day of Judgment is not a choice. It will happen to you. How ready are you? And this is the time of sacrifice. This is the time that we need to give to the deen. You know, I remember reading something recently, and there was this pious person, and he stood at the grave, and he said to the people that were with him, he said that this person could get out of the grave now. If he could get out of the grave now for 5 minutes, what would he do in them 5 minutes? Would he go and do an extra few jobs and make a bit more money? Would he go and get his like last pizza or last burger or something? No, he wouldn't do any of these things. He would use that time in worshipping Allah. He would use that time in repentance from Allah. And the same thing I also read in another book, that I said, imagine you're on your deathbed. Imagine you're in the hospital. The machines are all connected up and you can see the machines and your family's gathering around you. You know, when the family starts to gather around everybody in the hospital, you know that that is the time. That is the time where all the family comes. Someone's reciting the kalma quietly. Someone's reading Surah Yasin there. You're led in the bed. The machines are connected to you. You can hear the beep, beep sounds in the background. What will your regrets be at that time? What will you regret then? What regrets will you have at that moment in time? Whatever regrets that you will have then, do them now. Now, a foolish man will only have regrets of not getting a new car. A foolish man will only have regrets of not getting a big house. A foolish man will not have these regrets. The regrets that he will have then, think to yourself. Be realistic with yourself. Them are the regrets that you need to sort out now. Whilst this heart is still beating, we have a chance. This heart, when's it going to stop? Who knows? Tomorrow, there will be people that will die on this very night. Death can come to any of us. You may be 20, 25, 30. You may be at the peak of your health, or it seems as if you're at the peak of your health. Death can come at any time. You know, on the day of Eid, people go to the graveyard and pray for the deceased. When you go to the graveyard, don't just go to your grave. Look at the graves, the ages. And you'll see the 80-year-olds, the 85-year-olds, even the 19-year-old you see. But you'll also see the 20-year-olds. the 25-year-olds, even the 15-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, all different ages. Death doesn't come according to the age. Death does not come in any order whatsoever. You know, I remember again reading a beautiful example where someone said that, imagine being stabbed. You know, when people come to look at the body in the masjid, whenever there's a namazi janaza and the body's at the front, and after the namazi janaza, people look, line up to look at the body. Next time, and what happens is the imam sahab says, look at the body because there's ibrat there, there's a lesson there for you. The body's saying to you that I have passed away, you could be next. And the imam sahab says that many times. But next time when that happens, don't just look at the body, look at the line. Look at the line of people that are queuing up. It won't be all the old people at the front. It won't be all the sick people at the front. It won't be all the poor people at the front. It won't be all the rich people on the front. It won't be all the influential people. It'll be completely random. That random line is telling you something as well. That random line is also telling you that in the same way that random line is there in any shape or form, death will come to you in any shape or form. Death doesn't come for the old people, the rich people, the influential people. It comes for them in that same way, that random line. Look at that random line. And that's our future. So when we have on the day of Eid, think about the sacrifices that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam made. The companion, Mu'ad bin Jabal, he narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, paradise becomes binding for whoever gave life to five nights, which means staying awake to worship them. Those five nights are Laylatul Tarwiyah, the eighth night of Zulhajj, Laylatul Arafat, the ninth night of Zulhajj, Laylatul Nadr, the tenth, Laylatul Fitr, the night before the day of Eid, and Laylatul Nifs, min Shaban, the night of Shab-e Barat. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madrid Channel, whenever we worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, we earn blessings after blessings after blessings. Yet the days and nights we are currently in that have been mentioned in the hadith are unique times in which we must specially perform good deeds. We should try our best to free our schedules and make time to worship during these sacred occasions. Again, on the day of Eid, what happens? Forget getting extra good deeds. Forget doing extra ibadat. Forget doing extra zikr, doing extra Durood-e Pak, or reading some religious books, or reading the Quran. Unfortunately, what happens on the day of Eid, we forget. The time for Zuhr comes, we're having a meal with the family. The time where Asr comes, we're getting ready to meet our friends. The time for Maghrib comes, we're chilling with our mates. The time for Isha comes, and we're still chilling, and we want to eating outside at takeaways and restaurants as well. The day of Eid's gone, and you miss your Salah. All five of them have gone. These are the days, you know, they say that these are the days where you can get the reward, extra reward. You know, people look for those days. You know, you used to look for bank holidays and there's going to be double time and triple time. There are certain, you know, offices and certain factories where if you work on that day, you get double time. And they work on that day, you get triple time. These are the days that the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been blessed with. These are the days in which you can get the rewards. But again, they come, they go, and we don't worry about it. They come, they go, and we forget about it. They come and go, and we think, well, so what? And if you had the opportunity to make triple time, and you thought, nah, forget it. And afterwards you think, you know, I should have took that, I should have done that. You'll regret it. But in this particular case, we won't have any regrets. Because again, our mindset is not about performing good deeds. Our mindset is not about obtaining good deeds. Our mindset is about making more money. If money's involved, then okay, we'll do it. If money's not involved, then why should I bother? That's the mindset that we become. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat number 203, and remember Allah in these specified days. Regarding this, the following is mentioned in Tafsir work Siratul Jinan. The days it mentioned here are the days of Tashriq. The zikr of Allah in mentioned here is the takbir called after Salah and when throwing stones at the Jamarat during Hajj. It should be remembered that from the perspective of name, the days of Tashriq are from the 11th of Zulhajj till the 13th. However, the command of Takbirat al-Tashriq is from the Fajr of the 9th until the Asr of the 13th. It is wajib to recite Takbir once in a loud voice after every Fard prayer offered in congregation, whereas reciting it three times is superior. The words are as follows. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, wallahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, Nimi Rahmatullah, he explains this. He said, this takbir of tashriq is an amalgamation of statements that were made by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam placed a knife on the throat of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam to sacrifice him, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Jibreel alayhi salam to bring a ram from paradise to earth. When doing this, Jibreel exclaimed, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam looked upwards when hearing this, and he saw Jibreel alayhi salam bringing the ram, and he said, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. By the command of Allah, the hands and feet of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam were untied before he was given the glad tidings of his sacrifice being accepted. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam then said, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So these three, the three amalgamation of what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said on these days. One final message I want to leave with you. Unfortunately, what happens on the day of Eid, on the days of Eid, is not something that promotes the deen of Islam. In the sense that the actions that we perform when we're out on the streets or on the roads or driving or whatever it is, does not give a good image to Islam. Many, many years ago, and I'll never forget it because I was so embarrassed by the situation, that the police came into the masjid a couple of days before Eid. It was a Friday. I think at that time of the year, I think Eid was going to be on a Monday or Tuesday or a Sunday, something like that. The imam, the police came into the masjid and they made an announcement. They said that on the day of Eid, we're going to be doing overtime. On the day of Eid, we're going to be doing overtime. So if you do anything stupid, you'll be caught. I was so embarrassed, and I'll never forget that. I was so embarrassed. What should really happen is that the police should come and say, look, on the day of Eid, we've got nothing to worry about either, so we're going to have a holiday. But unfortunately, this is the state. Remember this, that every one of you on the day of Eid, you should be, it's throughout your whole life, in fact, but on the day of Eid especially, you're all ambassadors of Islam. You're all ambassadors of Islam all throughout your life. Whether you are standing here and do a speech or not, whether you're actively involved in the masjid, in Fazana Medina, or whatever the activities are taking place or not, all of you are ambassadors of Islam. All of you represent the deen of Islam. And you know in this country or in any country like this, if you do something wrong, it will not be that Ali that's done something wrong, Khalid's done something wrong, or Tawfiq Bhai's done something wrong, it will be that a Muslim has done something wrong. So remember this, you all represent your deen. You're all ambassadors of Islam. So yes, enjoy yourself. But remember who you are. Remember who you represent. Don't do anything to negate the image of Islam. There was a time where people used to look at Muslims and think, this person, if whatever he is, I want to be it. They used to look at the character of Muslims and say, whatever he is, I want to be it. Look at the history of those people that came to Islam. How did they come to Islam? The majority of people didn't come to Islam by reading the Quran, comparing the Quran to other books. They didn't compare the Quran to science. They didn't read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi. Yes, there were some. But the majority of the people that came to Islam was by the person in front of them. By you. You are all salesmen of Islam. You are all ambassadors of Islam. You're all representing Islam. So don't do anything to negate the image of Islam. So on the day of Eid, enjoy it. On the day of Eid, celebrate. On the day of Eid, remember the sacrifices that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made. One final announcement I want to make. I think it will be probably made as well. As we mentioned, the sacrifice that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made, that again, at this time of the year, is wajib upon many individuals to perform the sacrifice, the qurbani. If you've not already done, then please do. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen, bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Stay, Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success.